What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast, back at it again. Hopefully everyone is having, well, I'm recording this on a Thursday. You're probably listening on a Friday or over the weekend. Hopefully you're having a good weekend. We're getting ready for a big weekend. Smile. You know, it's hard pressed to find some smiles now, but it helps, sources say. Big show coming up. Some thoughts just on the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and just everything that's going on surrounding them. I've been lost in deep thought the last couple days, talking to some buddies in the NFL and that are college scouts, and some new rules on gained on practice squad guys. And I think it's going to be an interesting fall from the scouting and front office perspective from the NFL. Some NFL stories, Jamal Adams, thoughts on Deebo Samuel, Fauci on the NFL. We'll dive into all that. And, of course, the Middlecoff mailbag, at John Middlecoff, is my Instagram. And easiest way to get on the show, you just shoot me a question in my DMs, and I answer your question here. Pretty easy. It's the people show, right? It's what was The Rock? The people's champ? I'm the people's show, 3 and Out. Appreciate everyone that's gone to the 3 and Out and left a review on iTunes. People have always asked over the years which one should they subscribe to. I just subscribe to both. I mean, I would also subscribe to the 3 and Out one. And just when you're leaving a review, I greatly appreciate it. And they keep rising review-wise by the week. And thanks for everyone that enjoys the show. And a lot of you shoot me DMs, questions, and followed by or started off with a nice note. I just want everyone to know that has done that over the years. I really appreciate it. Okay, let's start with this. Like many people, I've watched a lot of Netflix over the last 3.5 months. I spend a large majority, I'm not that big of a TV watcher. I will watch TV shows that are popular that everyone else is watching, because typically I like those shows too. But I don't just watch random TV. But I actually watch a lot of TV. They just happen to be games. I always have an NBA game on, always have a baseball game on, watch a ton of golf, obviously the NFL, college football, 365. I'm watching March Madness, you name it. Any event, any game, any competition, I'm watching, betting on. Really just I watch for my own enjoyment. Now, I also gamble, but I love sports. Like I would imagine many people listening to this podcast do too. So, nothing to watch for me the last 3.5 months, beside the occasional MJ documentary or a couple PGA tournaments the last 2 weeks. So, I'm flipping around Netflix, stock that I once owned at much cheaper than it is now. God, I could have made a lot of money. You got to be patient on the stock market. That's a key, because I own that bad boy in the high twos, and it's now about 460. But I clicked on the Garth Brooks documentary. I'm like, you know what? I'll check out Garth. I'm a country music guy. I'm a music guy in general, but I love country music. I've seen Garth a couple times live. He is, an all-time great entertainer. So, love to know his story. You know, he's a little over the top. Now, he's an emotional guy, so the Netflix is, a lot of Garth. It's Garth, kind of like the Michael Jordan setup, interviewing him within the last 6 months, maybe a year. So it's a lot of current Garth talking about his life and his career. Interesting watch. And as he finally makes it big, he puts out a big record and has his biggest song yet to date called The Dance. And it's huge. I mean, it's the number one country song. It kind of puts him on the map as a huge country star. Just that song. And he'd had one previous number one before that. But that song was really Garth Brooks, country music star. He said something, then they go to him sitting on his chair, current times. He's like, once I did that, I felt a lot of pressure because now everyone was watching me. The circle around me, the hype around me was big. And whatever my next, single that I put out / album was going to set the tone for the rest of my career. I was either going to take it to the completely next level and never look back, or just be kind of one of those one-hit wonders. I was like, I've never really thought about that. But I think sometimes whenever you kind of get thrown in and you become somewhat quote-unquote a big deal, I think you see this a lot with players, right? If you have a big year, then everyone's kind of looking, can you do it again? It's why the great players like Julio Jones or Tom Brady, they've been doing it forever, right? It's why the great artists put out music forever. It's what makes U2 so impressive. Right? Or the Eagles, or whoever. A great artist can produce great music for multiple albums. It's really difficult to do. Because once you come out with an all-time album, people are like, oh my God. So he's like, I really felt pressure. his next album had the songs Friends in Low Places and Thunder Rolls, and his two biggest songs by far, and he never looked back. No human in the history of America has sold more albums than Garth Brooks. Not one. Not the Eagles. Not Michael Jackson. Now, I would imagine over this last decade, it is not quantified the same, but Garth Brooks became, one of the biggest music stars in the history of America. Flew by Elvis. Flew by everybody. Michael Jackson. Garth Brooks was bigger. Sold more. Generated more revenue. So even if you're not the biggest country music star, one, I'd recommend if you ever get the chance to see him, it's a fun event, and he's just a complete showman. He earns every, cent that you pay, and it really doesn't cost that much to go see him because he's really not that big on the business of country music in terms of the way they take advantage of people. So he's always really tried to keep the money down. But I started thinking about that. Sometimes when the microscope comes on you, and we see it all the time, some players take that next step and never look back and become superstars. But I don't think we often look at it in the lens of coaches. And I think one guy over this last season became a star, Kyle Shanahan. He had a six-year contract. Going into year four this year, the owner ripped it up. Gave him six more years. $10 million a pop. And I think most of us, now you could be like, Middlecoff, you're just biased, you live out there. I think most people listening go, yeah, Kyle Shanahan's an elite coach. Because he is. He's awesome. I talked to Coach Reed about it at the Combine. He's like, God, he's just great for college or great for the NFL. He thinks he's like one of the best. And everyone's going to be looking at the Niners. Now, we'll talk about Fauci and the football season this year. And I'm not even necessarily just talking about this upcoming fall. I'm talking about like the next two seasons. Like the time is now. You kind of set your tone when everyone's looking. Because I think back to Belichick. When Belichick gets the job in New England, that first year's rocky. The second year, whatever, Tom Brady, does Drew Bledsoe go down week one or week two, whenever it was, inserts Tom Brady. They never look back. They win the Super Bowl. Then the next year, I'm pretty sure they went like 7-9 or 8-8. But then after that, they won two straight Super Bowls. So right after they won the Super Bowl, everyone's kind of keeping an eye on, within the next 3 years, he's got two more Super Bowls. Andy Reid's a good example. Makes that first NFC championship. Now, he didn't win a Super Bowl till later in his career, but went to four straight. And the fourth one, he got to a Super Bowl. So it's like, God, this guy's really, really good. Now, I don't necessarily think Kyle has to win a Super Bowl this upcoming fall, or even in the next 2 years, but I think at minimum, he's got to go on a Harbaugh-type run. He has the team. He has the roster. He clearly is a star play caller. He has a coaching staff that has now been in place for going into its fourth year. And it might get a little more difficult after this year, but it's now time for him to kind of throw out some other hits because everyone's looking to them. And rightfully so. They have a bunch of good players. They have a young core that's cheap. They have multiple star older players that are under contract, like Trent Williams and Richard Sherman. George Kittle, at this point in time, doesn't make that much money. Their quarterback, given how productive he is on one of the more team-friendly deals in the league of any quarterback that's on a second, contract. But Garth Brooks went on to become a guy that made country music mainstream. Like, Google who makes the most money in music. I did it the other day. Kenny Chesney's been making $30 to $40 million for about a decade. Luke Bryan last year made $45 million. Garth Brooks changed the game. But he answered and became such a big star. And I think Belichick is really the best example for this. He won those three Super Bowls within a four-year span. And then for the next 15 years, pedal to the metal. Now, he wasn't winning the Super Bowl every year, right? But he went to what? He's been to 12 with the Patriots, or I guess they've won six and went to nine. So they went to six more in the next 15 years. They're in the NFC or the AFC championship game every year. And he just became an all-timer and arguably the best coach ever. And Coach Reed just won at winning. Now, Coach Reed, the second iteration in Kansas City, look at the star on him and Mahomes. Goes Mahomes' first year, wins the MVP. They get to the AFC championship game. They come within an offsides of winning. They don't win the game. Well, coming back this year, everyone's talking about him. Reigning MVP, like the next Brett Favre, but like even better. What do? They win the Super Bowl. The rest is history. They are clearly the top quarterback coaching duo. Andy's now viewed as an all-timer. Mahomes is viewed as like the greatest two-year start to a career in the history of football as a starter. And I think Kyle's taken a weird path, right? He was the son of a coach that won multiple Super Bowls. He's been a coordinator for four different teams. You know, Sean McVay had been a coordinator one place, and we don't even really know how much he was coordinating because Jay Gruden was calling the offense, right? Some of these guys were like, you know, they'd been at one spot, got a job. Cliff Kingsbury hadn't even won. He gets a job at Texas Tech. Kyle started with the Houston Texans, went with his dad to the Washington Redskins, went to the Cleveland Browns, and then went to Dan Quinn. That's four different head coaches before he even became a head coach, and then he went through some rough times. But definitely for the last 4 or 5 years, we went like, God, this guy's really, really good. And then last year kind of solidified himself. But he really, really, I think, to become what he just got paid to become, and I think Jed would say, we already think he is that, and that's true, and I do too. I think Kyle's a star. But I think he could solidify himself as like, whoa, are we looking at Bill Walsh? Are we looking at, you know, Bill Parcells? Are we looking at Chuck Knoll? Are we looking at a Don Shula? Does he pass his dad one day? Because his stardom right now and the stepping stone he has the opportunity with this team is pretty incredible. And he's also the play caller. So he dictates half the game. And their offense is pretty loaded. Even though Debo got hurt, and we'll get into that later, they still have another first-round pick. They got multiple guys coming back from injury. Offensive wide receivers, they have the best tight end in the game. They had Trent Williams. They have a good quarterback. The Shanahan way, you could put me or you back at running back. They're going to run all over you. So Kyle Shanahan basically had his first big hit last year, and it was a huge hit. Big success. Unreal. Fun to watch. Been watching football professionally now for a decade. That team was legit. It was no joke. Nothing fluky about any of it. But it's now time to follow it up. And if he does, big time stardom will come. Okay, listen. We've all taken and had to adapt over the last 3 months. All of our businesses and lives have changed in some form or fashion. That is, but definitely professionally, right? A lot of you guys are working from home. You know, if you're an essential worker, you're wearing a mask on job sites, or if you're in the food industry, whatever you're doing, it has been an uncomfortable time. There is no way around it. I would imagine people have taken pay cuts or lost money that they would have gotten because deals were reneged on or didn't happen or whatever. This has been a curveball none of us saw coming. And I think I'm already seeing it with the NFL. Yesterday it was announced that the league will add 2 players to the practice squad. So instead of 10, you can keep 12. And it's already been announced that instead of that, I think it was the new rule either passed last year or 2 years ago, that you are allowed to bring 1 player off injured reserve. This year you're allowed to bring back 3. And I think those, just like in any business, you got to be open-minded. You got to be able to change and adapt for the health of your business during this time. We're all doing it, right? All of us. So the NFL is no different. I do think it's going to have a major, major impact on the season. When you put together your initial roster, you know, that it's usually the weekend, you know, leading up to week one, they have the big cut down. A huge part of accumulating your practice squad is based on evaluating the NFL. And what I mean by that is, you got 3 or 4 pro scouts, including, you know, personnel guys, general managers, that are just scouring, watching every single snap of every single guy in the NFL during that 30-day period in August when all the preseason games are happening. Because you want to know, well, is the guy we have on our roster better than a guy that we could sign from another team's roster, just as a practice squad guy? I think there's a realistic chance that preseason games do not happen. I saw a headline a couple days ago. They might cut down the preseason. It would not shock me within the next month, several weeks, they just announce no preseason games. They've already announced no joint practices. Well, a big part of the preseason, when I worked in the NFL, I probably went to 7 or 8 preseason games. I have buddies that are pro scouts. They go to countless preseason games. I've been told by multiple guys, yeah, we're probably not going to be going to preseason games. It's not even an option. You won't even be allowed. They might not even exist, let alone the season for advanced scouts. But let's just stick with the preseason. So you're going to be building these teams. Like the Major League Baseball draft just happened. It went from 40 rounds to 5. And then every guy that was not drafted, there was a cap. You could only offer him $20,000 to sign. Well, the season basically didn't happen. So besides the top handful of guys that were a lock, probably top 10 pick coming into the baseball season, think how many guys might have gone undrafted, might have gone on in the fourth round, that would have been like first round picks if an actual season had taken part. I would imagine in 5 or 6 years in baseball, we look back and go, God, a guy like Max Scherzer or Madison Bumgarner, their equivalents will be in the league kicking everyone's ass. Can you believe that guy was an undrafted free agent? And I'll push back, no. It's weird times during Corona. It was just crazy. Just like I think in several years, we'll be like, God, can you imagine cutting George Kittle, the equivalent? You know, it's some tight end that was cut. Now he's on the Cowboys or the Eagles or the Cardinals. And he's kicking everyone's ass. He's like a six-round pick. Part of the problem is going to be if there aren't preseason games, in training camp, you're going to be so focused on the guys that are actually going to play, or at least that you think are going to play, getting them ready for week one and the season. So your ability to evaluate your own guys is going to be somewhat limited. Now, I would imagine coaches who think outside the box will set up very competitive two-on-twos and threes-on-threes. But still, there's nothing like guys playing well in practice, get to those preseason games, and they don't have it. Or vice versa. A guy in practice, you're like, you know, we draft this guy in the fourth round. He hasn't been that great in practice. Then you get in the game, and he dominates. And you're like, thank God. But we knew we had something. That might not exist this year. So the amount of turnover all over the league and guys that are going to get spread all over these practice squads, we won't know for a couple years, but really Pro Bowl players are going to come out of this group. I would guarantee that. I would bet $1,000 right now, several Pro Bowl, or guys make Pro Bowlers, excuse me, guys will make a Pro Bowl over the next 7-8 years that were on practice squads and cut in this training camp. That maybe on a given year, if they would have been able to play in some preseason games, they would have been a lock to make their team. You just won't have the information. Then we have the college football season, which is clearly going to be weird. Well, a big part of, and I've been a college scout, is you go into the programs. If you have the SEC, you go to Alabama. You probably spend 6 or 7 days there total throughout the fall. Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, Oklahoma, Oregon. These schools are producing Utah, a boatload of pros. You have to spend a lot of time there. Not just to run into the players and evaluate the players, but talk to everyone in the program. Well, isn't there a chance this year that the programs, depending on what happens in college football, I was talking to a buddy in the league yesterday that like, what if college scouts aren't allowed into the schools? That's possible. Now, you would still have to attempt, you know, if the games are going on, you could still evaluate them. You'll just have to do your work, just like all of us. We've had to do Zooms. Maybe you'd have to set up Zooms with pro liaisons, set up Zooms with offensive and defensive coordinators. It would just be a challenge. But that's what we're in, a challenging time. 2020, on one hand, I just say it sucks. And then another hand, I actually think, I know I've used this personally as a time to like, let's try some different things out. Let's see, maybe this didn't work. Why was I doing it this way? Was I doing it this way just because I thought this was the right way to do this? Is this the right way to do this? Could we change? Could we adapt? And I wonder if scouts, just like the NFL teams talked about with during the draft, you know, after your college scouts spend 4 months on the road, you don't need to bring them for 3 sets of meetings to your facility. You can do a minimum 1 set over the computer. The technology is here. There's a reason our biggest companies in America are technological companies. Google, Amazon, Facebook, Apple. They're not like Ford Motor Company, right? They're all based on the internet. You want something? Go to Amazon. Type it in. Order it. They'll deliver it 3 hours later. It's pretty awesome. And if you don't like it, say, Jeff, I don't want it. And a lot of times they're like, credit it back to you. You don't even need to give it back. I know multiple people that have told me like, yeah, Amazon sent me the wrong thing, or I got it and I didn't like it, and I was going to return it, and I did the return thing online. They're like, you've already been credited. It's like, I haven't even given you my item back. They're making so much money, they don't even care. I mean, Apple's got, they don't even know where to put all their cash. they were Pablo Escobar, they would have, you know, every piece of land in California would be full of cash underneath it. They'd just be digging holes, throwing cash in there. So these scouts are going to have to figure out a way, potentially, I would already be getting my mind right, of like reaching out to some of the coordinators, reaching out to schools that I know are going to have a lot of prospects, you know, and just trying to get their information now. Because once the season starts, if you do get cut off and are not being able to go in there, it's going to be hard to get a hold of some of these guys. Whether it's email, whether it's calling, they're going to have a lot going on. It's going to be a crazy time this fall. And the advanced scouts, I've done that as well. They're not going to be allowed. There's going to be no media at any of these games. One thing I love, by the way, that the media is doing a lot lately, I see it on Twitter all the time, is like, just on vacation with the fam or out with the boys at the beach. You should see what all these idiots are doing. So wait, you're at the beach, but you don't like what they're doing. They should be inside. You should be outside. It's one of those Bobby Knights, do as I say, not as I do. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. You don't get to talk down. It's like, just on vacation with the fam, you should see what these morons are doing in Southern California. So wait, you're out and about? You're out and about with the other people out and about? Doesn't quite work that way, right? It's just so fraudulent. It's just so fraudulent. It's driving me just off the wall. Nothing makes me angrier than a tweet like that. Just at the beach with my wife and kids. You see what these idiots are doing next to me. So you're literally out. Listen, I followed the rules during this thing. I want it to end as much as anybody. I'm financially in bed with football and sports. But I'll be the first to say, I don't know what's going to happen this fall. And back to what I said about the scouts, the front offices, they already did it for the draft. They did it for free agency. If I'm an individual and I have an area, if I have teams to do this fall, get ready to change because there's a lot of unknown. No one knows what's coming. Hell, Dr. Fauci changes his mind every 10 minutes. We'll dive into him here in a minute. But just get ready for the unexpected. Okay, let's bang out a couple quick stories around the NFL before we get into the Middlecoff mailbag. I guess the story, I mean, I've heard this damn story like three times in the last year. Like this player. Like him a lot. The Niners screwed up. They should have taken this guy over Solomon Thomas. He should have been the third pick in the draft. He was still the sixth pick in the draft. When you go sixth in the draft like Jamal Adams does, you get paid a lot of money. You play a position, and you have a playing style, and I love his playing style. I watch football for the violence. I love guys like Jamal Adams that want to wreck shop when they hit you. My favorite players in the league, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Luke Kuechly, Richard Sherman, all dudes inflict pain, at least defensively, right? Those are my favorite type players on defense. I want ass kickers, and that's what Jamal Adams is. Box safety, really good, talented player. Cover guy, okay, solid. Got a lot of opinions. Yeah, he does. He's been a part of a joke franchise for 3 years. And he's going into his fourth year, right? He got his fifth year option picked up. And one reason he's complaining right now is because Christian McCaffrey just got paid. Well, Jamal, Christian McCaffrey, there's a huge, it doesn't make that much sense to pay Christian McCaffrey what they paid him. Let's be real. And I love Christian McCaffrey. I think he is a superstar. Paying running backs, not ideal. Now, Christian adds a huge element as a pass catcher, and he's been incredibly productive through 2 years. The owner of the Carolina Panthers just paid $2 billion in cash to buy the team. He got rid of, I saw the Carolina Panthers tweeted out, like, the best player in the history of the franchise. Listen, Luke Kuechly's the best player in the history of the franchise. 7-time All-Pro. Better than Julius Peppers, better than Steve Smith. Cam Newton, though, is the most important player of the franchise. Wasn't the best player of the franchise. Again, Luke Kuechly, who was always beside the one Cam MVP year, and I'm pretty sure Luke was first team All-Pro that year. Best player in the franchise history, Luke Kuechly. Most important player, most famous player, Cam Newton. And Cam Newton was an awesome player too. But they got rid of Cam Newton. They got rid of Greg Olsen. Kuechly retired. Thomas Davis is gone. Julius Peppers ain't walking through that door. You got to sell some seats. So I pay $2 billion. I got no problem giving Christian McCaffrey like $35 million. What's your value, Jamal? Can I even win with you? I don't know. We never have. Someone today, when I was going live on Periscope, which I do, you know, minus the pandemic, basically Monday through Friday through Twitter, John Middlecoff, same Twitter handle as my Instagram handle. And someone said, well, Eddie Jackson got paid. Yeah, Eddie Jackson, his Pro Bowl year, whatever, a couple years ago, was, I don't know, one of the more productive players on the best defense in the league. And I'm pretty sure he had like four pick sixes that year. Maybe the Bears had like seven pick sixes as at a team, but I'm pretty sure he had like three or four. It's a pretty unique skill, you know, scoring touchdowns. He's a cover guy. Jamal, you're not a cover guy. It's a cover league. Now, you're a physical player. Again, I love physical players. What's Joe Douglas supposed to do? Give you a bunch of money? Let's just wait and see. What's the rush? You're already getting a ton of money. You're extremely highly paid. Think about the other guys from that class that he's like, oh, other guys are about to get paid. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. If you take Jamal Adams off the team last year, does anything change? Sam Darnold's the franchise. And he'll one day get paid if he's good. And I think he will be, but we don't know. But Jamal, I like you. I like your passion. But God, it's just, who do you think's trading for you and then paying you? You're not Aaron Donald. You're not Khalil Mack. You're not Jalen Ramsey. No one's doing that. Nobody. Deebo Samuel broke his foot. Not ideal. Camp Jimmy 2.0. The 49ers were doing a camp in San Jose. Because a bunch of players live in Tennessee, they moved it all to Tennessee. Kittle, Juszczyk, Deebo Samuel, you know, a bunch of guys last year that didn't play that much. Jalen Hurd, who they drafted. Juwan Jennings, who they drafted this year. Brandon Ayuk, the first rounder, I'm pretty sure is there. Kendrick Bourne. They're having a huge, you know, operation out there. A huge practice, like 40 guys. Maybe not 40 guys, excuse me, but probably like 20 guys. I was texting with someone that was there. He said, we do 40-play walkthrough. Like, they're taking it really, really seriously. Anyone that did not have a place to stay, Jimmy Garoppolo put up in a hotel. So it's a pretty high-level operation, at least until Deebo Samuel broke his foot. And it's called the Jones fracture. And just a state school guy, don't know that much about medicine besides sports injuries and, you know, your basic bad diseases, like most of us do. Anytime you have a injury or a disease named after, has a specific name, I always say it's not good. You know, the Tommy John is not good. The Jones fracture just sounds bad. Now, I had a buddy text me that say, listen, I did the same thing to my foot last year. And this guy's just a normal human. He's not an NFL player. I said, well, what happened? He said, I did a month in a cast and then a month in a boot. And then you start rehabbing. So it's a pretty big injury for a guy that gives George Kittle a little more leeway. He wants a new contract. A ton of pressure on Brandon Ayuk, a first-round wide receiver that really is just a one-year wonder in college. Again, talented player. Now, they got Jalen Hurd. Dante Pettis isn't very good, but they might need him now. Trent Taylor, who hasn't played in like 3 years. So we'll see. That's a part of football, and you saw it with Brandon Brooks this week, tore his Achilles. I say it all the time, and I think this way, and when I say it to Corona, like I mean follow the right steps, but you can't be scared of your shadow. People are like, what if he gets injured? Yeah, it's football. You get injured lifting weights. You get injured at OTAs. You get injured in training camp. You get injured in a game. It's like if I go pick up dinner and I get on the highway, it could go wrong. It's life. You can't operate scared. Sometimes guys get hurt. You know, it sucks, but I can't be like, well, they shouldn't have been doing that. Yeah, he could have got hurt at OTAs. Guys get hurt every year at OTAs. Part of the deal. Dr. Fauci, not too bullish on the NFL. My overall take on Dr. Fauci is the first month I thought Dr. Fauci was a genius. I just followed everything he said. I'm like, this little guy, used to play basketball. He's smart. He contradicts himself like every other week. So I'm not even against his overall message. It's going to be difficult to play football. The sport is anti-social distancing. John Harbaugh said it. Sean McVay said it. I've talked about it on this podcast. Social distancing and football do not go hand in hand. They don't. They couldn't be any more polar opposites, right? In football, you literally, five guys are touching each other at the line of scrimmage. 11 guys are in a huddle. every tackle, there's five or six guys, you know, falling on each other. The meeting rooms, the practices, the showers, it's just, there are definitely question marks. But the NFL is going to go. And I tweeted this, like, people are like, what if a major quarterback gets corona? It'd be bad. What if a coach got corona? What if the coach was, you know, a major coach? I'm not going to say any names. I don't want to jinx anybody, but would they have to miss a couple games? I mean, listen, the more and more these stories come out, and I'm not someone who just lives in the fear porn. I'm not doing it because I know that what the media's job is. Fear porn equals clicks, and they've lost a ton of advertisers. They're hoping to have huge numbers whenever the corona ends. They'll just flip the script. They don't care. It's why so many people in the media wanted to lock down forever, and then the protests happened. They were okay with the protests, but they just said that they weren't okay with the, you know, you wanted a lockdown. Those two things couldn't be any more opposite, right? And now they want a lockdown forever again because the cases are spiked. Well, 14 days ago, we had hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people all over this country all together when we were told forever to social distance. And all of a sudden, the media didn't care anymore. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm pro-protest. But pro-protest in a pandemic when we're not supposed to social distance? How could you say with a straight face, I want a lockdown, and yeah, go protest. Like, how could, and that, my entire Twitter timeline was like that. It doesn't even add up. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. But it shows you, like, my old overall take on the media, like, they don't have much conviction on any of this stuff. And they're going to, like, Dr. Fauci thing blew up. Because I feel like a lot of them are rooting for a lockdown, which, again, is weird. But I'll be the first to say, like, the more and more you read about players getting corona, like Kareem Jackson of the Denver Broncos. Well, they had a huge protest, right, 14 days ago or 12 days ago in Denver. Is it crazy to think that he got sick during that? Right? That would make some sense. Out and about with thousands of people? Isn't that what we were supposed to avoid? Isn't that why all these leagues were coming back with no fans? People are going to get corona. It's going to happen. You just not want to play anything? That's not the way these leagues operate. Because like I said earlier this week, it's about the money. Now, is it going to be flawless? Is weird things going to happen? Yes. Are people going to get corona? 100%. But I'm done caring what the media's take is on it. Because they would flip for anything for a click. I mean, most of these media companies are holding on for dear life. ESPN, $30 million a day. Losing. So, listen, regardless where your stance is, I just don't care. You know, none of you guys are doctors. You went to Syracuse or Northwestern to get a journalism degree, and you just seem mad all the time, which, I mean, God, fucking relax. NCAA approved 6-week training camp kind of comeback plan. I saw today, Texas, I think 13 guys tested positive. It's going to be a challenge, you know, but the NCAA, unlike the NFL, they're just a huge business and they want the money because a lot of people get really rich. Players, owners, teams, like everyone benefits. Hell, me, I don't get really rich, but I mean, I make money off it. We want football to start. But in college football is a little different. The women's basketball team, the men's baseball team, the soccer teams, the swimming teams, they desperately, desperately need college football to happen. Because if it doesn't, bye-bye. Bye-bye. College football pays for everything. Literally everything. And luckily with the NFL, like, they could figure it out. If worst case scenario, push the season back, whatever. They could pivot. College, like if the season got canceled, there'd be a lot of student athletes in these other sports and coaches and administrators on the street. It would be really, really bad. Again, why I have taken the stance the entire time, I want to get out of this as quickly as possible. I'll do whatever I can to try to help out. I don't want anyone to lose their job. I want sports to come back. I'm rooting for it all. I'm not going to be on the other side. The media has that side cornered anyway. I mean, they never shut up about it. I actually want sports to come back. I mean, weird, novel concept. I like them, right? I enjoy talking about them. Some people don't. Okay, let's dive into the Middlecoff mailbag. First question here. What are your thoughts on the culture of steroids in the NFL? It's hard for me to believe it's not rampant given the freakish nature of athletes these days. Is there a culture of the league turning an eye because it creates a better product? Any chance COVID tempts players to push limits because they haven't been able to lift as much as possible? I'm not going to pretend to be naive. Clearly, I've always assumed guys are taking things that push the limit. I have never heard a coach talk about it. In scouting meetings, a couple times it came up. You got to be, you know, in draft meetings, you got to be careful. This guy might, you know, the team thinks he's a steroid guy. But you get tested. So, you know, you try to push the envelope with every, you know, thing that every drug or over-the-counter whatever you can take that is not on the banned substance list. But if you get caught with a banned substance, you will get suspended. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. You'd have to ask some players. And even obviously they'd probably act dumb. But I you know, the guys to be to ask would be the strength coaches. I never saw it. I never heard of it. I just always assumed. Now, in like any business, right, you can figure out ways to cut corners. I watched some of the Lance Armstrong documentary. We've seen the baseball steroid documentaries. Wherever the testing is, there's always doctors to be ahead of the testing. But like full on, just bend over steroid in your butt, needle, like that's probably not going on as much as you think. But the technology is incredible, right? With the creams, the clears. I mean, that was a decade and a half ago. So yeah, I would imagine there are guys on stuff that pushes the envelope for sure. Do I think, like, I mean, I've always heard rumors HGH and the NBA is, I mean, just look at some of these guys. I mean, give me a break. I've never been, again, I'm a Barry Bonds guy. I'm not affected by that. I'm watching this for, and I'm doing this for entertainment and for money and because I enjoy it. I don't care. I'm not Bob Costas here. Do whatever you got to do. It's a violent physical sport. Sometimes just doing some curls and eating chicken breasts ain't going to be enough. So, you know, in a serious nature, I don't know much about it. Like, I don't have much inside information because, honestly, I've never really asked about it. It was one of those things in my experience, no one just really talked about it. Partly because we don't really care. Only care if you fail the test. At this point in his career, do you think Tomlin is actually underrated? Sure, he probably should have another ring, but he's made the playoffs 8 of 12 years. Has a winning percentage that trails only Belichick among active coaches, and obviously has dealt with some big personalities over the years. Seems like people are always coming for his head, but to me, he's clearly one of the best coaches of the league. He's never had a season under 500. You could argue last season with Mason Rudolph and the Duck Hunter, it's one of the more impressive years I've ever seen. If you've been listening to this podcast for over, you know, 8 months, you know when they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, I destroyed it. I was wrong. Minkah was a stud. They had one of the best defenses in the league. He dominated. And they went 8-8 with no quarterback play. And all the guy does is, you know, his worst years are going to be 8-8. I do think he takes, you know, an unfair amount of criticism, but that also happens when you don't call either side of the ball. And you're just quote unquote the CEO coach. Because our first response is like, what are you doing? Like those years with Joe Flacco, John Harbaugh, what are you doing? Pete Carroll, what are you doing? Now, Pete's won, but I think sometimes when he loses, we just go, well, Russell Wilson. Like with Andy Reid or Sean Payton or Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay, their hands are on every game. Belichick doesn't ever get it because he just wins every year. Doug Peterson, calling every game. Even Mike Zimmer, you go, well, calls those double-A guy blitzes. Hell of a defensive play caller. So when you call a side of the ball, you impact the game. My other podcast guy, Haberman, who I do it with, has a theory in baseball. It's not even just theory, it's correct. When you don't hit in baseball, it looks like the team's not trying. But that's just the nature of the sport. If you get one hit all game, you go, God, Yankees didn't even give a shit tonight. No, they tried. Max Scherzer just mowed him down. And I think sometimes in football, a guy like Mike Tomlin, where you're like, he's not calling the offense, not calling the defense. Yeah, he's He's clearly doing something. Because the moment Antonio Brown left Pittsburgh, it was like a crazy man was on the loose. To me, handling Antonio Brown, like, it turns out Le'Veon was just more about money. They didn't want to pay him. It was just business. Antonio was like a personality management. What an incredible accomplishment. Could you say managing Antonio Brown for the 5 or 6 years that the guy was in like the peak of his abilities is one of the most impressive NFL accomplishments in recent memory? Who could do that? I mean, John Gruden and Mike Mayock couldn't make it 2 weeks with the guy. My question is about home field advantage. If there are no fans in the stands, would there be a home field advantage and corresponding 3 points on the betting line, or would that be wiped out? In my opinion, there are a few teams in the league that would still have a home field advantage, and the biggest one would probably be Denver, given the altitude factor, which would give them an advantage on other teams competing for a wild card spot. Thoughts? I agree. I like the good. That's why it's a people show. You guys are smart. Let me give that a little thumbs up. For sure. It's why Utah has a big advantage. And Denver in the NBA. They always talk about, Mile High. I'd say more teams would be impacted the other way, right? Three teams I immediately think of, and they're good teams. Super Bowl champs, Kansas City. Seattle Seahawks in the 12s. And the New Orleans Saints. Their fans play a massive, massive role. So if you're going no fans, again, gut feeling. I've never like asked a gambling guy why you get the automatic 3 points. But I would imagine maybe two of the points get, you know, maybe 1 point. But if you're like, you know, the Niners going to, I'm trying to pick a bad team, like the Jets. Why would you give them 3 points off the bat, right? Or the Chiefs, I think, play the Arizona Cardinals. You know, why? Let's say it's in Arizona. Who cares? Yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but that's a good thought process for sure. It would really, really impact Denver. I do have a question that is not really related to football, though. Are you bald by choice? When did you start losing your hair? Thanks, keep up your great work. I've always been really opinionated. I guess from really, really young age, used to butt heads a lot with my parents because I would just never shut up. I had opinions. They're not always right. I've always talked a lot. So bold by nature, probably. I mean, you know, when you think about all aspects of my life, relationships, financially, what's the worst case scenario? You lose your money, you get dumped. Now, granted, you could argue it's easier to be bold. I don't have two little kids running around. Though, I don't know if that would change that much. Now, I don't know if I'd put them in position where they couldn't eat. But, yeah, I guess bold by nature. You know, it all probably comes back to your childhood. And if I really broke it down, probably based on the way I grew up and maybe things I disagreed with in my own home, if you really wanted to break it down, ways that went about it, I'm a little bit more of a, you just guns blazing free spirit. Weirdly, though, like, pretty disciplined. It's a weird dichotomy. When did I start losing my hair? I remember being in college and seeing hair follicles on my desk, and I was like, oh, I'm in some trouble. Then I became a GA at Fresno State right after I graduated from Cal Poly, so I was like 23, 24 years old, and it started going. And then by my first year in Philly, I was bald. So it happened pretty fast. So I was full gone probably by 27. You know, less than a decade ago, I think 2011, maybe 8, 9 years ago. Where and why all this groundswell for Kaepernick? Like, all of a sudden he's good enough to play again. If he was this good, where was all this swell last year or the year before? I'm sure the Bears could have used him. To me, it seems a little too much overcorrection given the current climate of the country, almost as if they're using Colin as a proverbial band-aid to say, hey, we gave him his chance. We're all about the movement now. Ding, 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 ding. I think you nailed it. Now, clearly there are a lot of members of the media that think he got screwed. He got blackballed. Like, no one with a straight face can deny he got blackballed. But 4 or 5 years later, he sues the league. To think that, you know, in his early 30s now, haven't played football in 5 or 6 years, he's a good, you know, candidate to be signed. I saw someone tweet the other day, like, hey guys, remember Cam Newton? Right? I mean, if I was Cam Newton, like, hey guys, black quarterback here, been in the league, Hand up. Can someone sign me? But yeah, I mean, again, this is back to the media. I think the media pushes it more than fans or whatever. They just ride with whatever they think will generate. Really, I think because of social media, they just follow. And once it becomes like likes and attaboys, and they do that. Now, listen, Colin should not have been blackballed out of the NFL in this, in terms of his talent. He was talented enough to be in the league when they basically got the boot and no one signed him. And trust me, I was a critic of him that last couple years. He wasn't good. Like, this notion that he was good because his numbers with Chip Kelly, he was not good. I watched it. All these media members that helicopter in, like, check his numbers. No, I did. I watched every game, every snap. I know you didn't, because the team went 2-14. Worst year in Niner history. Let me repeat that. Worst year in Niner history. I watched it. He was terrible. But his resume shouldn't have been out of the league. I think also the media uses him politically, and as I've said over and over, people forget this. He's not pro-Democrat. He thinks they're both frauds. So it's become very political. I doubt he gets signed. I really do. Maybe I'm off on this one, but I will be. I'll be stunned. You know, I know I went on Colin's show. What day is it? Thursday? Anthony Lynn talked about the workout list. Like, a lot, Des Bryant's on a workout list. You know, I mean, you can put anyone on a workout list. I say it all the time. Don't judge people off words. Judge people off actions. Now, granted, you can't work them out technically right now because everything going on in the country, but I don't know, man. I'll be shocked if he's in the NFL this fall. But I hear you. Am I crazy to think that a six-year, $150 million extension from Mahomes could work, all fully guaranteed? If I'm not mistaken, that would be the most guaranteed cash in the history of the NFL and would leave enough cap space for savvy veteran signings for players who've earned their cash and are chasing a ring. Factor in Veach's so far proven ability to scout and draft and Reed Spaggs' coaching ability. I think it could be a good move for KC. Am I missing something? Sorry for the wordy question. I just think Mahomes is the perfect combination of good enough to break the bank, but humble enough to understand what it takes to win. So 150 divide 6. Here's your problem. That's what I thought it was. You can't pay him an average of $25 million a year. It's like what Derek Carr makes. So could you pay him less guaranteed? The average has to be like $40 million because he's going to get both. He's got all the leverage. MVP, Super Bowl, star, cash cow. To me, his number minimum, even if he's taking a hometown discount, is like $33, $34 million. And then maybe it's $150 million. But it's like five-year deal. So five-year deal, that would be $30 million a year. Yeah, just, I think it's complicated. Now, would he take a $30 million a year, $150 fully guaranteed? Maybe something like that. Now, do the Kansas City Chiefs, you got to put $150 million into escrow immediately because of the NFL's stupid salary cap rules. But it's a complicated issue for sure. Curious about your thoughts on shortening the distance a ball has to travel on a kickoff to be recoverable. This would keep special teams an important part of football and make for an exciting play. Yeah, I mean, I think 10 yards is okay. What are you going to do, 5 and have players 5 yards across from each other? You know, it's just, I'm not trying to hate on special teams because I respect it. It's a big part of the game. It's a hard part of the game. But I think that becomes a little kind of AFL, XFL. Like, at the end of the day, we don't really talk about kickoffs unless you return it to the house. We care about just kick it out of bounds or, you know, kick it in the end zone, let Mahomes, Lamar Jackson come on the field. You talked about buying Mary Jane stock on the last pod. Are there any specific companies you're buying right now? Or what companies do you think get into the game? Sorry if you're not into dishing out hot stock tips. Keep doing your thing, dude. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a day trader. I've just picked 3 weed companies. They actually are all based in Canada. I don't know if they're going to be good. A couple of them are backed by a big Constellation. They own Corona and Modelo. I don't know if you've heard of them. Number one beers in America. Another one's backed by Citibank. So I just picked some companies that have been really high before. They're low right now. I don't know if they're going to hit. So if you don't have the money, don't invest. They might never amount to anything. Now, I've put five figures in all three because I'm just betting in the next several years they get big. Do I know? No. Is it a risky move? Yes. I feel like Portnoy here talking about the day trading, but I don't know. I'm pretty confident one of them is going to hit, maybe both. ACB, CGC, and TLRY are the three handles that I picked. Now, again, they're all pretty low. I think one's under 10. I think CGC is like 17 and Tillery's like 12. I'd have to check today. Tillery's 856, ACB's 13, and CGC's 17. So I'm just kind of, they're all based in Canada. We have deals with them. You do your research if you want. I'm not a big research guy. I just get some basics. Do I believe in the industry? Do I believe in a company? Or do I see major companies investing in that company? I'm not Mr. Jim Cramer here. I've made some money in the stock market. I've lost some money. It's fun, though. It is, you know. And if, you know, these weed stocks go to the moon, I'm going to be buying myself a home. What are the three NFL organizations you would least want to be drafted to? What NFL teams could you most see becoming a dynasty over the next 5 to 10 years? I would say the Bengals. I would say the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I would say, that's a tough one on the third. Bengals easy number one for me. Jaguars two. I was going to say the Chargers, but they're in L.A., and they got a bunch of sweet players, but their owner's a clown. But other than that, I mean, their franchise is kind of irrelevant. But if you're a player, you have a chance to win. The Lions. Let me rephrase. I would go Lions 1, I'd go Bengals 2, and I would go Jacksonville Jaguars 3. Teams would be a dynasty the next 5 to 10 years. I think it's two teams just on the Super Bowl. Mahomes and Andy, and Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy, and just the 49ers, and just his ability to coach. So I'd say it would be those two teams. Appreciate everyone listening. I'll get you out of here. It's like we're already about 52 minutes. Enjoy the day. Thanks again for everything. I appreciate all the kind words. If you haven't, leave a review on the Apple page. I greatly appreciate it. Godspeed. Enjoy the week and weekend. And stay safe. See you.